Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you want to be made well? What kind of question is that? Judy, we'll talk about this verse after church today. Does that sound good? Yeah, I knew you'd have some questions. So we'll talk about it afterwards. Do you want to be made well? What kind of question is that? Do you want to be made well? Jesus is at Bethesda, or however you want to pronounce it or spell it. There's a few variations in the Bible. But at the end of the day, it basically translates into house of grace or house of mercy. It's a healing shrine. We are told that much. If you are there, it is because you are sick. Do you want to be made well? It's like walking into the emergency room of the hospital and seeing somebody there with a fractured arm, the flu, something, and saying, "Do you want to be made well? This guy has been sick for at least 38 years. We don't know his age, but he's been at least ill and coming here for 38 years. In this culture, to be physically ill is to be spiritually ill, which means that people think of this guy as morally bankrupt. He's basically an outcast. He has no one there to help him, which he says. He has no one there to help him get down to the pool. Do you want to be made well? That's the first thing Jesus says to him. Do you want to be made well? Of course! Of course, right? Of course he wants to be made well. Except, if you want to stop and analyze it for a moment, this pool is open 7 days a week. It's open 365 days a year. This man could come any time to it. But he came alone on the Sabbath. He's incapable of getting himself down to it, and he chose a day when no one is actually allowed to help him get down. And then he sits himself down too far away to make it on his own. Do you want to be made well? Or are you just kind of paying it lip service? You're just going through the motions. I don't know what's wrong with this man. We're actually not really told. He seems to have some trouble walking, but that could be anything. We have no real clue what is wrong with him. But it's fair to say that after 38 years plus of being ill, this is a part of his identity. This is a part of how he is known in his family, in his culture, in his neighborhood, to himself. And sometimes even good change can be scary or intimidating because it's unknown. Do you want to be made well? Really? Are you sure? Because nothing's ever going to be the same again. People are going to look at you differently. People are going to respond to you differently. People are going to expect different things from you. Your world, your habits, your patterns of behavior, everything in life will change. I promise you this. Jesus asks him this question, do you want to be made well? Do you understand just how extreme this is going to be for your life? Do you want to be made well? Do you notice he doesn't actually say yes? He doesn't answer the question. Do you want to be made well? There's no one here to take me to the pool. What kind of question was that for Jesus to ask? What kind of answer was that for this man to give? Do you want to be made well? Maybe, I don't know. No one's here to take me to the pool, it's all moot. I have been asked by the larger church in the area, by the synod, to serve as a coach. Not your kind of coach, Rick. A coach for a program called Moving Back into the Neighborhood. It is a program that several churches in the synod are doing to help themselves become better connected to their communities, which you can kind of get from the name of the program, Moving Back into the Neighborhood. It's kind of self-explanatory there. It's an interesting situation. We ourselves are not engaging in this program for a variety of reasons. For one, there's a little bit of a cost involved. I don't make any of it, so don't worry. Well, that'd be kind of nice, actually. For another, the program has just begun, and where we are in our process, we're much further along, and so to try and force ourselves into this shell, into this model, seem kind of artificial. Pretty much every church out there says that it wants growth, to be made well. Really? Really? Most churches really want growth? Because with growth comes change. Comes unfamiliar faces and new thoughts and new traditions, new roles, new challenges. It means new people, and new people means new priorities and new needs and new joys and new gifts. And you've heard me say this before, growth without change is impossible, right? Because growth is change. How can you grow and stay the same? It's not possible. Welcoming the stranger is hard because strangers are strange. It's kind of why we call them strangers. Now, in their defense, we're strange too. We're just more used to our own strangeness, more comfortable with it. There was a parade this past week for the Seahawks. You may have heard about this. A couple people went. Very large parade, 700,000 plus people. The numbers keep changing, so I'm just going to go with that number. 700,000 people. Sarah convinced me to go. In her defense, I had said I was going to go, and then I tried to back out of it at the last moment. And she convinced me that I would regret it if I didn't go. And, you know, I had a lot of second thoughts, but I was, okay, fine. You're right, I should do this. So I did. I hopped on a bus, and I hadn't really planned ahead, and so I hopped on the bus, and I did the smartest thing possible. I hopped on, and I went to the University of Washington to try and get a transfer an hour and a half before this giant parade. That wasn't going to happen. I got off the bus, I saw 50, 100 people waiting for buses that weren't stopping. So I decided to walk. So I walked from the UW down to basically Smith Tower, which was actually kind of cool because I haven't really seen those neighborhoods before. And saw a lot of neighborhoods. I saw the trolley or the streetcar, whatever they call it. Some seaplanes. Random people living on the street who were yelling "Go Hawks" to passersby. It's kind of cute. And eventually I got down to, got down near the tower, down to 4th and James, and it was busy. If the pulpit is where the buses were going by, I was here. So it was, you know, like that close. Honestly, I almost like went out to go like do the high fives and stuff, but I didn't want to push. So, but it was intense. There were so many people, and there was all this stuff going on. And then afterwards, I thought to myself, well, it's a beautiful day, and I don't really spend a lot of time in Seattle, so I'll just walk some more for a while. And that was also a bad choice in some ways, because I walked away from where all the buses were starting, which meant that when I decided I wanted to hop on the bus again, they were all coming by me with lots of people. So I walked up to Fremont. And that was when I learned about Queen Anne Hill. It's big. It's, my knees still hate me. But it was beautiful. And I kept thinking to myself as I was on this walk, as I was traveling around, just how beautiful this place is, just how beautiful this city is, how beautiful the Northwest is, and just how filled it is with people who are hungry. People who are hungry for meaning in their life, for purpose in their life. People who just, they want to feel like they have made a difference at some point. Why did 700,000 people show up for a silly parade? To be a part of something bigger. That's why we went down there. It was to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, to be a part of history, to be a part of something positive in the community, to feel good about ourselves and about our community. Don't get me wrong. I think it's pretty apparent. I do, you know, I won't say I love the Hawks. That's probably not the right word for it. But I am fond of them, extremely so at times. But it's just football. It's just a game. It really isn't that important in the greater scheme of things. Think about what God offers us. As people of faith, we have a message of hope, badly needed in this world. God wins. You've heard me say that before. Love wins. Things are going to be okay. We have a message for people that they are valid, that they are loved, that they are part of something bigger than themselves. To borrow from John's language, there is a light in the darkness. There is meaning and there is beauty to life. We can all be made well and welcome the change that that entails. It's not always easy, it's not always comfortable, but it is worth doing. And just like with that man with that mat, had no choice but to do as Jesus commanded him. Get up and go. So we have no choice but to do the same. Amen.